Welcome to The Event Technique, the daily 9-minute podcast created exclusively for event planners and development directors. If you're on the front lines in organizing, promoting, or running nonprofit events, every episode of The Event Technique podcast is filled with valuable tips and strategies in bite-sized chunks that you can use to make your next event more successful. And now, please welcome the host of The Event Technique, the founder of Eventsburg, Jill Coomer.
Oftentimes when we're asked about junior boards, nonprofits wonder why on earth they would need a junior board. That's a question I hear a lot. They're thinking it would be probably a good idea, and then they realize they might need to manage that, and it's one more thing they just feel like they can't really deal with, so they just set it aside and ignore it. The digital era, in fact, the digital age with people on social media and such is actually the perfect way to reach out to find people who would be interested in joining your board. You want to increase the involvement, and while in having involvement with people following your Facebook page or your Instagram page or TikTok regarding your organization is good, it's not the same as having actual people showing up for a board meeting and being involved with the other folks and getting to know your organization and such. So you do want to have a junior board, at the very least, to increase the involvement in your community. More people to help with things, more people to get involved, be able to do different events and bring new ideas. And you need that in an organization, especially if you are trying to grow and stand out in a sea of nonprofits and charitable organizations that are out there. The more folks you get involved actively in your mission, and I don't mean clicking the button on the phone to make a donation of 10 bucks to something. I mean actually having a vested interest in the organization. That goes a long way. Secondly, it gives you added outreach. You can tap into those folks who are on the junior board, who know people, who run in different social circles than you do, and maybe a lot of the folks on your board. All of these people have significant connections, whether it's through social media or in actual day-to-day things or through their work. And when it really gets down to it, a lot of them may not be as involved as they want to be. So it harkens back to something I talked about a few podcasts ago, where you still need to be able to actually reach out to people. They still want to have that one-on-one interaction or small group interaction. And in fact, the trending words right now are digital campfires, which is really cool when you think about it. But what it is a few people that are in a group that are friends, that communicate back and forth, but not necessarily the Instagram type friends, but true friends. That's, realistically, that's kind of a sorry state. In this day and age, we're beginning to see the trend of somewhat of a digital whiplash, if you will, where people have been on social media, they've built their profiles, they do all these wonderful things, and then when it really gets down to it, you realize they're actually sitting in their apartments and they're all by themselves. They're lonely. Countless studies show that, demonstrate that. So this is another way to be able to reach more people and get your organization out in front of other people. So in addition to that now, think about all of the potential sponsorships. You don't really know who in each group they are connected to, so you want to be able to reach all those people. They may hang out in a trendy restaurant or a bar, shop at different places, do things that are different from what you're doing or your organization is doing, and that gives you a chance to get in front of more sponsors. You never know where that's going to come from, so it doesn't hurt to have that kind of outreach. You also want to tap into those folks that are increasingly isolated on social media. The number one thing that is cited by people 25 to 34 is that they're lonely. And you would think with social media that everyone is on it, they're doing everything, everything is cool. And the truth of it is, you really need some other social interaction that's not on your computer. So whether you know it or not, hanging out at a bar or going to an event or whatever it is, people need to be able to talk, physically talk, to other people. So that's important. When you get those folks on board and they understand the mission and they understand what the organization is trying to do in terms of its operation, it becomes hugely significant to them. They have a buy-in. It's very easy to sit at home in your apartment or your house on your phone and donate $5 to Save the Oceans or $5 to the Animal Foundation or whatever it is you're going to donate to and feel good about that for kind of like a minute or three, because you really don't get that much out of it when you do it. Of course, the organization benefits, but you've never really connected as an organization with that person who donated $5. When you get these folks on the board, you get that interaction, and they are the ones who really make it go out, make that go out, and they get exhilarated about it. So it's one of the reasons why you want to have people who are younger and more involved in the community or different elements of the community than your board, existing board, may be. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's something to pursue. So in large part, the line is to try and figure out ways to be able to reach that group of people who are beginning to get exhausted with social media. They want more conversations. For a nonprofit, it can give you digital whiplash, and it's sort of one of those things you really don't want to have. It's another reason to bring in more folks. Open those lines of communication. And one of the things that is a decided benefit of bringing in a junior board is that you now have the ability to mentor these younger board members and train them on what it means to be on a board, how they function, why they operate the way they do. One of the largest problems that boards have in a lot of organizations is that they don't look down the road to see what's coming. They put a bunch of people on the board, some of which are effective, some are there because they're donating money, or for whatever reason, and they really aren't that effective. We've looked at organizations that have boards of 40 to 50 people on their board. How do you even get a quorum to get anything done when you have that many folks? Subsequently, when you have that many folks as well, many of them are not younger and they are not capable of leading the next generation of board members. They don't necessarily have the skill set to be able to mentor and train. You want that on your board. So when you search for board members, make sure that's one of the things you're thinking about. You need to protect your organization going forward with a board that is looking to the future and they're on top of things. And I don't mean trendy, I mean forward thinking, and there's a difference. So the best suggestion would be to establish that junior board or a junior advisory committee or whatever you really want to call it, but you need to get them involved so that you can mentor them and train them so that they learn about governance and board issues, all the other responsibilities that happen when you get on a board. It's important to be able to train those folks because long after you're gone, the boards have turned over, so on and so forth, you still need to have that consistency. And a good, solid, well-trained board that starts out as a junior board is a good way to get there. You need to remember these folks are young, they're smart, they're articulate. If you get them engaged, they will work tirelessly for your organization, and that's what the organization needs. It's not good enough anymore to have donors that just feel good about clicking or texting $10 to your organization. You really need to have that interaction to build that base, to get these people involved. And you know what? That's where the hard work comes in. You have to be able to get in there and get your hands dirty. It's not enough to click and donate. Someone really has to get out there and plant those trees or work with those animals or help those children. It's just not enough to click on the button. Get them engaged. Get them involved, and your board will reap benefits the likes of which will just baffle your mind. Have a great week. Make sure to catch this podcast and other podcasts at theeventtechnique.com. That's www.theeventtechnique.com. You can also catch us on Alexa on the Flash Briefing. Hey, Alexa, give us the Event Technique, and we'll pop up with a one-minute little nugget that you'll be able to take to get your day rolling. And last but not least, if you have an event that's coming up that you want to list on an awesome calendar that goes nationwide, Eventsburg is it. Eventsburg, Eventsburg, because we're in your burg. We're everywhere. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Event Technique with Jill Coomer. Whether you're a veteran in the nonprofit event business or just getting started, The Event Technique is a veritable goldmine of tried and true tips and strategies that can help those running events, large and small. For more powerful tips and strategies to make your next event a huge success, get a copy of Jill's latest book, The Event Technique, available now at Amazon and www.theeventtechnique.com. That's www.theeventtechnique.com. For more bite-sized chunks to make your next event more successful, see you next time on the Event Technique Podcast.